Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Coca-Cola. For the big. For the small. The short. And the tall. Peacemakers. Risk takers. For the optimists. Pessimists. For long distance love. For introverts and extroverts. The thinkers and the doers. For old friends and new. Coca-Cola. For everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here. We are 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host. It's Matt Barros of The Athletic. We're recording this Tuesday morning. Barros is a little sleepy head. Wake up this morning. He had to, like, go to a game and write about it. And I did not have to go to a game. I did write about it, but I didn't have to drive or anything like that because I was on jury duty, which is over now. Everybody, I'm not on jury duty anymore. We will not have a podcast about that trial, but it was interesting. And I am glad to be back at work and not have to be thinking about all that. 49ers, by the way, win 20-9. A sloppy, weird, uneven game against the Carolina Panthers. They do win to get to 8-4. There were lots to talk about in this game. Certainly not a ton of great 49ers play. I said, it wasn't exactly a pretty win. It wasn't even an okay win. It was sloppy. But they do win. They're 8-4. They hold on to the 7th seed. They've got that bye week just kind of gleaming out there after this weekend's trip to Cleveland. We will talk about that. And I was in the locker room on Saturday, and there were players talking about that bye week. But let's talk about the win. As I always ask Barros, after a game, we only get 17 of them. What's your headline? What's the number one thing you're thinking coming out of this one?
Well, my headline is that Brock Purdy turned what should have been a laugher into a stinker of a performance. And it was a lot closer in the first half than it should have been. Five interceptions between both of those quarterbacks. I mean, Brock Purdy had one of the worst games of his career, and his passer rating turned out to be 58.5. Bryce Young's was 60.8. Mm-hmm. So not even or just a little more than 2 points higher than Brock Purdy. So, that was the dominant thing in the game. Another game where they just kind of force fed Christian McCaffrey. He only averaged a little over 3 yards a carry, but, you know, he did damage. And that was sort of my question. Remember, we talked about this heading into the game. The Panthers were without their top two linebackers. Then they lost one of the replacements. So they were playing with their fourth and fifth best linebackers in this game. And that opening drive by the 49ers seemed to sort of acknowledge that. It was all, you know, runs and short passes, and they just kind of systematically went down the field. And I thought, this is the right game plan. You know, you don't need anything fancy. You could just kind of control the clock and gobble up yards. And if you score touchdowns and field goals, you're going to win this game handily. And they did that on the opening drive. But then on drive two, Brock Purdy drops back and throws a deep ball that just kind of hangs in the air and it gets picked off. And, you know, that started the three successive possessions where he threw an interception. So, you know, I talked about this last week coming out of the Cardinals game. I didn't think that Purdy was quite as good as everybody thought he was in that game. And, you know, one is a 133 passer rating game and one is a 58.5 passer rating game. They weren't all that different. The difference is that the Cardinals dropped two, possibly three interception opportunities in that game. And, you know, Purdy had two picks in the Seahawks game, two picks in the Jaguars game, two picks dropped in the Cardinals game, and then three picks in this one. So it's sort of in keeping with how he's been playing this year.
He had a couple dropped, too, in last night's game.
I mean,
he could have had a 4 or 5. No question, he was putting the ball in bad places in a game where he did not need to push the ball downfield. I think there's something, there's a push and pull on this one. And Shanahan at halftime, when he talked to the reporter, which I thought was interesting, you know, it was like he was putting it to the right receiver. He just was throwing, it was a little off on the timing. He said that to you guys, of course,
first. Just a hair off.
More than a couple hairs, maybe a lot of hairs off. But I do think he wanted to put the ball downfield. And I think Shanahan likes that about Purdy. He's not a dink and dunker in his heart. Sometimes that's the best thing for them to do, but he wants him to get by a little time, get the ball downfield. I think that was what they wanted to do. It's always what they want to do if the defense kind of, you know, piles up at the line of scrimmage when McCaffrey's getting the ball, either running it or getting the short passes, like draw him up, throw it over. They were not thrown well, and there was no question about it. That the last one, you know, obviously was a very interesting play by the cornerback Horn, who came off the middle of the field. He's in Purdy is not reading him. It's still interception. You can't just write it. It's an interception. Don't throw that ball. Now, obviously, is it the toe? Is he not planning? Because if you're going to keep saying it was the right receiver, which is what Purdy and clearly what Shanahan said, then the balls were off, right? That's what they're saying. Is it the balls were off? Is it just three passes that happened to be randomly accumulated? As you point out, he threw some balls that were not all the way there in the last game, which I raved about, which I thought was a great game. Does he just not have the zip on his ball because that right toe is maybe not letting him plant? I thought I'm going to say, let's see. Obviously, the Cleveland game will be a very important marker for that one. It's going to, you know, there's going to be weather.
Yeah, there's going to be something falling from the sky.
It'll be cold.
Snow or or rain. They're not sure.
And we have not seen Purdy real great in those games. I'm more looking like the second interception was when, you know, he was kind of moving forward in the pocket, third down, had Kittle right in front of him, or he could have just run it himself. And he decides to throw it. And, like, did he shy away from the run? I don't know. We've seen him make that throw before when he's been fully healthy. He's not really doing the kind of slide 5 feet, reset, torque the body, and throw. Again, small sample size. That's what he's great at, though, right? That's the difference between him and a lot of other quarterbacks, clearly different than him in Mac Jones. Does he not have that? Is he getting that? You still go back to the Shanahan thing, like he's never going to be 100% on that toe this season. Playing and practicing is not going to make it better. Is it just going to be a limited Brock Purdy? Do they have to realize that? Maybe that's what it is. I'm getting texts from friends about it today. It's like, what is it? And it's like, maybe it's just he's good enough to play. Clearly, he could put up the numbers he put up last week. He's good enough to win games. They've won two games. But maybe they just have to figure out how to work this and not try to hit the big passes. Now, that's contrary to who he is. It's contrary to what Shanahan wants from his offense. But maybe they have to downscale it like they did in the second half, Barros. It was a lot of short passes.
Yeah.
It was back to that first drive.
Yeah, and also the Mac Jones offense. And you can win a lot of games doing that. You probably can beat the Browns doing that. You certainly could beat the Panthers doing that. They're not going to want to say that. They're not going to want to signal to the defenses of doing that. Maybe they'll get it back at some point. I would guess more towards after the bye than right now. But can they just run a safe and sane offense, Barros, with Brock Purdy?
They can. I mean, they certainly can. But you're right. It's not in what Shanahan wants. I thought that the second interception, the one to Pearsall in the end zone or at the goal line, was really interesting because you're right. He could have run for it. And in fact, he had run for a first down three plays earlier. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. That was something I was going to write about because in the Cardinals game, he barely ran at all.
Yeah.
And he certainly didn't kind of scramble forward out of the line of scrimmage at any point in the Cardinals game. And I thought, okay, there's something kind of restricting him, you know, the toe injury, he doesn't want to aggravate it. So he's not doing that very Brock Purdy thing that he does. But he scrambles for 9 yards on that drive. They're facing 3rd and 6. He's got a wide open field. He scrambles and then looks up and he's got Kittle wide open.
Yep.
In the near ground. And then beyond Kittle, he's got Ricky Pearsall, who's got a step on his guy, and he's, you know, single coverage, and he goes with the most aggressive of the three options. And I agree with you. I think that Kyle Shanahan loves that. He doesn't have his eyes on the easy throw. He's got the eyes on the backbreaker, but he just doesn't. I mean, he could have led. It didn't even require a zippy pass. It could have been a noodle pass if he had led Pearsall further down the goal line, because Pearsall was ahead of the cornerback at that point. But it wasn't. It wasn't the right pass. And so the question becomes, is it the toe that's affecting that throw? I thought it might be just the fact that he hadn't played in a long time and the timing is off. A little bit, but Shanahan rejected that. He said there's no narrative when it comes to late throws. The late throws are just late, I guess, but I don't know.
You threw the narrative word at you, Barros. You threw the narrative.
I mean, there's got to be a reason for it. What Shanahan does, you know, invariably after his quarterback has a bad game, whether it was I remember Jimmy Garoppolo after they signed him and he starts out the 2018 season kind of ragged. And the question is, what's wrong with Garoppolo? Nothing's wrong with Garoppolo. He's doing great. That wasn't the case. So I think people should understand that when Shanahan talks quarterbacks after a bad game by quarterbacks, he always defends the quarterbacks and minimizes the mistakes. But these are big mistakes. These are a lot of picks. He's got, what, 2, 4, 7 picks. And he's only played in 4 games so far. So this is a problem. It's been a bit of a problem his whole career. It's something where you see that, you know, interception percentage in his stat line, and you think, okay, this is the year where it starts to go down. You know, this is the year where he has 30 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions, which is what elite quarterbacks do. But it's always been higher. Like I said, I think that's, if you're looking for problems at quarterback with the big contract that they signed him to, that's one of the flaws that stand out. And the other flaw is that he's gotten banged up a lot over his career. Sometimes he's able to fight through it, sometimes not. But those two things are the issues. And there's lots of great things on the other side of the coin. But in terms of gee whiz, flaws, those two stand out the most.
Yep. I mean, picks are picks. They are not great. They were the only way the Panthers could have won that game. They still couldn't win the game because their quarterback was throwing the ball to the wrong team. He was throwing to Jair Brown. It is certainly an issue. It could certainly rear its head in bigger games down the road. I don't know if it'll be the next one. We'll see. Again, it's pretty easy schedule they got, but they do have the Colts coming up after the bye. They got the Bears coming up after the bye.
Jim Schwartz defense in the snow with Miles Garrett lining up over Colton McKivitz. I think there's a lot that could go wrong in Cleveland.
That might be a Brian Robinson Jr. kind of game. We'll see, but the Purdy question is big. I will say I'm a Purdy guy. I think he's a really good quarterback. Throwing it to the wrong team and throwing other near picks. I do think the Horn made incredible plays on the ball. Like, you see cornerbacks drop those every single time.
Right, and Brock Purdy has really kind of relied on the cornerbacks.
Yeah, not
that's why they're not wide receivers, because they don't have these were really good interceptions. And Jair Brown had a really good interception, too. That the second one was full of contact, and that ball sort of went into a mass of humanity, and he came out with it. So, that was an odd story of the game. There were a lot of fumbles in this game. The ball was all over the place. It was a ragged game, but the DBs, man, they had the best hands of anybody out there.
We have seen 49er DBs. We have seen 49er opponent DBs. They don't make those plays. It's just that's why they're defensive backs is what coaches always say, right? If they had great hands, they'd be playing wide receiver. Purdy was putting the ball in jeopardy. He cannot do that. I am more like, let's see it play out. But he has had this issue over his career. People are certainly comparing it to the Ravens Christmas game, which we all were there, throws four picks. That seemed to me much more they're just jumping the slant route, right? They just knew where he was going to throw that 14-yard out, and they were just standing there. This was more Purdy pushing it downfield, going for that 50-50 ball, saying that Ricky Pearsall or Juwan Jennings are come down with it. And the Panthers DBs were fantastic. The ball was bad, but the Panthers DBs were fantastic. Let's get to how the 49ers offense worked. It was Christian McCaffrey. That's what I wrote about. We've talked about this, the essential 49er, right? I mean, there's been a lot of talk over the years. Who's the most important 49er player? They've got future Hall of Famers, no doubt. But Fred Warner isn't in there. Nick Bosa's not in there. George Kittle was missing for four games. Brock Purdy missed eight games, played a bad game, and they still win. What's the thing that carries them through? What's the constant? And what was not there last year when they fell apart with other injuries? It was Christian McCaffrey. It's just so clear, not saying that he's the best 49er, because Trent Williams is in there too, clearly, but he makes them go. There's no question about that. He is leads the league in touches, leads the league in receptions, leads the league in rushes, leads the league in first downs. This is just someone they cannot operate without, and we saw that they couldn't operate without him last season. Scores touchdowns, sets them up, keeps the defense off the field by getting first downs. He's not going to win MVP. Usually that's a first and second seeded team. 49ers are not likely to be that. I think Matt Stafford is looking like the MVP. We shall see how that goes. But my God, Barros, what if they didn't have McCaffrey? We saw it. We saw what if they didn't have McCaffrey last year. Can you put into context what this guy means to the team in 2025?
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
Extra.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start?
Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How You Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yeah, I mean, I happen to be just in the right spot. This is my theory that luck is the major driver of someone's success. Right when Roger Craig and Christian McCaffrey said hello to each other before the game. It was during Christian McCaffrey's warm-ups, and Craig is in the corner, and they meet up, and they have a bro hug and a quick talk, and you could see Roger Craig tear up. He was emotional over the moment. But it just kind of hammered home how rare it is to have a thousand season in the NFL. Only three people have done it, and two of them were right there in the end zone. I was wondering where Marshall Faulk was. So there's that, and he's on his way to becoming the first person to do that, twice and for two different teams. But, you know, the opening drive was, you know, what I thought that this team needed. And there was a lot of Christian McCaffrey. I forget how many touches he had.
Six runs, three catches.
Five.
Yeah.
Nothing underscores his importance more than that. The Carolina Panthers knew he was coming. I'm sure they practiced all week with an extra day. We just have to stop McCaffrey. If any team knows about the importance of Christian McCaffrey, it's the Panthers. And so, they did a pretty good job stopping him that drive, but didn't stop him enough for them to matriculate the ball down the field. And it played into the Tim Kawakami theory that you get the ball first and you score, and all of a sudden the opponent can't really lean on the run game. And by the way, the Panthers ran the ball well. Yeah. I mean, they Rico Dowdle averaged more than 5 yards a carry. Chuba Hubbard averaged more than five yards a carry. It was a strong rushing day for them. They just didn't. They just couldn't lean on the rush because they fell behind so early. That seems to be a good, this was the first game that the Panthers won the coin toss and lost the game all season. So maybe the Panthers winning the coin toss saved Kyle Shanahan from himself in this game.
I got it in his head, though, Barros, with that question on Saturday. It's in his head now. Wait a minute. It might be good to score first. It might be good to be up 7-0. That's good. It's not bad. I understand the numbers, the analytics, whatever, and having the ball to start the third quarter and scoring can change the dynamic of the game, no question. But when your offense is way better than your defense, I just think it's good to have the ball, drive it right down, score. It's the game felt different because of that.
Wait, the offense is better than the defense? Not last night.
Not last night. Well, Jair Brown had something to say about that. And Bryce Young, did not look very good, Barros. Like, run the ball when the quarterback's that jittery back there.
We can add the Panthers to the Mac Jones trade list.
That would be interesting. I don't think Shanahan's going to do it. I just think this is the time to think about it, and maybe they'll do it. They certainly won't do it in a big game, but when your offense is that good, now maybe he's thinking, okay, yeah, I'll take the ball, and what if Purdy throws an interception? All of a sudden, I'm back, you know, back heels here, and we're not even going to get the ball to start the third quarter. I get all that stuff. I just think it's really, really interesting to get the ball and go up 7-0, and just the dynamics of the game are yours for at least a while. And if you can get a stop and you get a chance to go up 10-0, 14-0, this is how games are won in the NFL when you're just the better team. Okay, off that topic. Jair Brown, there is a player on the 49ers who's got a nose for the ball. And I think you and I were both wondering what was happening when he was benched to start this season. I think he is one of their two most talented safeties. I understand that it's not super decisive, him or what Pinnock or him or whoever, but he makes plays on the ball, and he made him in college. Hadn't done a ton as a 49er, but no one else makes plays on the ball. Like, they are running past balls. He makes plays on the ball. That interception in the end zone was an incredible play, because I was looking at it. Like, looked like Bryce Young's, you know, rolling right, there's nobody there, but there's Jair Brown kind of there. So I think that flash of red is the reason why Bryce doesn't just run in the end. He still probably could have, but he didn't want to try it with Jair Brown. And then Brown not only stops the run, he floats back when he's in the throwing motion and gets in the lane and makes a good play on the ball. Not, you know, incredible play on the ball, but it was a tough play. We've seen DBs drop that interception every single time. Hell of a play, like a huge play, maybe the play of the game. I think the 49ers were going to win this game no matter what, but that was a monumental play in the end zone after a turnover.
After a turnover deep in your own territory by Brock Purdy. I agree with you. I thought he had a terrific game. I thought Malik Mustafa had a good game. You know, it was always sort of a question about, okay, why are the 49ers picking this duo? And they weren't great right away once they started playing with each other. But to last night's game, the Monday night game, was obviously their best outing. And they really, the 49ers are weak along the defensive line. Everybody knows that. And these two guys were basically additional defensive linemen. And they were coming up and making plays along the line of scrimmage in the backfield. Obviously, Brown was great on the back end, too. Mustafa said after the game that, you know, Brown is one of the most intelligent guys on the field. Like, he knows what's going on. And that first interception that you described, I mean, that's it. If you can kind of keep a quarterback from crossing the goal line and then be able to make an interception on the end line of the end zone, you know, that's kind of really knowing where everyone is and what the situation is. That's invaluable. So that was probably the best part of the defense. I didn't think that Jason Pinnock played all that well. He missed some tackles in space.
Big whiff.
Yeah. So they just love this big nickel. Like, the big nickel is going to like solve all of our issues. Big nickel is the answer to, you know, the modern offenses that we're facing. But I don't know. I just feel like having Nick Martin out there, which is your base defense, but he's not much different than a safety. I mean, he might be 222, 225 pounds. He moves. He's got electricity in him. He'd be the guy I would rather have out there, especially when you're in the sort of the middle areas of the field and there are big swaths of the field open. He can cover a lot of ground, and I think that he's a good tackler. We just haven't seen enough of him, but I don't know. I'm not quite as high on the big nickel as the 49ers seem to be.
I mean, they clearly have a kind of group at safety that they like playing, right? You know, they got Marcus Siegel too. Maybe more so than they feel comfortable playing Nick Martin as a rookie. But I think, I mean, Pannock does not look great in that position. He just doesn't to me. Jair Brown looked better in that position, but now he's an actual safety.
Yeah.
So he's not playing that position. They clearly are moving through some things. They have not played offenses that have threatened them very much. Although the Cardinals did put up 465 yards of passing or whatever the hell that number was. And they're not going to, I mean, Shedeur Sanders is not likely to go up and down the field on them, the Browns offense in the bad weather on Sunday. So maybe they get to the bye, and then they got some challenges ahead. But clearly a mix and match. Clearly the defensive line is a problem. Clearly they're having to blitz and do some extra things. Although I thought Bryce Huff had another really good game.
Yeah, he looked good against the Cardinals too. Yeah. We hammered them for the zero sacks, but he was a handful. But the problem with poor Bryce Huff is that he's the only handful. And yeah. So teams are concentrating on blocking him. And there's really no one else. I mean, Sam Okwuonu had an ankle injury. Robert Beal didn't play because of a concussion.
Keon White, he had some moments there.
That's right. That's right. He got a nice sack there. And then it was Cleveland Pearl who had the sack.
Yeah. But White was in there. Now they've got some guys who don't, you know, they're not closers. They get up the field, the quarterback kind of notices them, and then they don't get the sack. But, I mean, just getting up there is something. You make a move. See, and you make Bryce Young move, Barros. You make a move in the pocket, it's an incomplete pass. He is not impressive to me. I know he's had good games. I know he can play really well. But he looks like a guy who just, if you move him off his spot, and he can't run for it, then he's just kind of stopped. It's going to be incomplete pass. The ball's coming out weird. That happens to a lot of quarterbacks. It has happened to Purdy, but it seems to really happen. He's just so small, Barros. He's just so, like, it's hard for him to move, and then he's got a big old offensive lineman in his way.
You have a real size prejudice.
I do. It's just awful. It's awful that I do that. I was not very impressed. I was not thinking he was going to do much against the 49ers going into this game. I just didn't. And Barros, I'll have to say it, my seventh consecutive correct pick on the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
I did not quite get the tenor of this one. I thought there would be more points. So
You were right in the tenor of it. It was the only, it was only the Brock Purdy, back-to-back-to-back issues that kind of kept this should have been a wrap.
Yeah, this should have been 30, 33, 34 points. Without question, they wouldn't even have had to breathe hard to do that. They didn't. This team, you can, like, they have a thing. They have a certain type of team that they like playing against. It's with a limited quarterback, and you can get up on them early, and then they're all of a sudden they're screwed because you can turn them into one-dimensional teams. They have not played great quarterbacks, Barros. So I don't know who's the best. Stafford's been the best quarterback they played, and Stafford beat them, although they beat Stafford earlier in the season. They have a thing where there's a style of game that Shanahan can get you into. It's a Christian McCaffrey game, and if you cannot stop Christian McCaffrey, then he's going to grind you out. That makes it easier for the defense, and the defense can make a few plays, then they're going to win. Which leads us to the Cleveland game. It's a tough one. We'll talk about it later in the week in more detail. But short week, they're flying out Friday. When I think Kittle said that, it hit me like, yeah, that's right. They take those extra day when it's that far away, three time zones. That's a really quick turnaround. It's going to be in weather. We know that they, you know, Myles Garrett is just eating up quarterbacks. That's a tough one, Barros. That is one to circle for sure.
Jim Schwartz, defense. Yeah. It's all the things that the 49ers offense has issues with. A really good defensive end, weather, and that style of defense. Now, the Browns offense is just horrible. Yeah. And the quarterback is worse than Bryce Young. So you would think that the 49ers win this game, but, you know, they went to, you know, during their Super Bowl year, you know, a fantastic team, not a lot of injuries in 2023. They go to Cleveland and they lose to PJ Walker. So it's possible that the 49ers can lose this game. And the other kind of component that's working against them is that they are on their, you know, their last breath. You're right. They're looking at that bye week like they've been wandering the desert for years, and it's like this little oasis that they see on the horizon. And they can just make it to the oasis. They're going to be fine.
They've been talking about this. They are pissed that it took so, you know, they got this latest bye week possible. Other teams have the late bye week too, but it is on their minds. They are pissed off about it. That might be part of the motivation to win this game. Like, screw you, NFL. You're trying to get us beat up. We're going to win this game and get to the bye week at 9-4. They also are banged up and tired and all those other things. It's an incredibly late bye week. It might help them, though, you know, give them a little juice, a little late season juice that other teams are not going to have. But it is a topic of discussion in the locker room. I was just dropped in there on Saturday, which I have not been in there, and I heard about it when I was in there. So it was a very – because I asked somebody, are you going to get to a Warriors game at all? And they're like, can't do it until we get to bye week. We don't have a bye week. It doesn't feel like we have a bye week this year. So this is the casual conversation you can get. Barros, maybe you ought to try it. Okay, get that locker room once in a while, please. Like, it can't be just me bringing these insights into this podcast all the time I've spent in the locker room this year. Not much.
It's me on Fridays talking to Colton McKivitz about duck hunting. And he can talk for hours.
Ask McKivitz about that special teams thing. I think they've moved him into the field goal block just in the middle of the season. I don't think he's been there before. Just please, would you
Moved him along the line? Because he usually lines up on field goal.
Really? Okay, well, I think they moved him to the left side when he was not on
the left side. Yeah, it's only Trent Williams and Jake Brendel, the 30-somethings that get a break and don't have to play on that.
By the way, did you see on the McCaffrey touchdown run, which was a beautiful running play, 12-yard touchdown run toss to the left, did you see Brendel on that? Brian Baldinger does a nice job, like, looking up some plays. Brendel there's nobody on him on the nose, so he just explodes upfield untouched and takes out a defensive back, completely takes him out, and then continues down the line and gets another DB to allow McCaffrey to score the touchdown. I know Brendel gets a lot of heat from 49er fans.
Yeah, 49ers fans aren't going to like this account that you just put up.
It may be not the greatest pass blocker, although I have not noticed major flaws there recently. That was an explosive play. That's why Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan love him. He is there was some athlete in him, and that's what they want out of their offensive linemen. They don't need huge size. They don't run power that much. They're not one-on-one blockers. They want them to move and get to the second one, get through when there's a clear, like, get through it and just lead your guys. And Brendel was explosive. Like, you should see 71 Trent Williams down, and Trent Williams was downfield. But this was Brendel just racing down the field. And, your guy McKivitz, pretty big fumble recovery, Barrett.
Yeah.
That was big. McCaffrey.
Well, that was big, but then turn the ball over?
I guess so. But still, I note fumble recoveries. Barros knows that's a little quirk of mine. I think it's a skill.
Well, that's one of your little quirks.
It is A. I didn't say that.
It's A.
The DeForest Buckner always impressed me for his ability. When there's a ball in the pile, DeForest Buckner's came out with it more than most. And some guys just can't recover. They get the guy Jackson, the DB for the team. Who are they? Carolina yesterday was lying on the ball and couldn't get it. And then McKivitz just came in there and grabbed it. Like, that changes games now obviously interception after that made it not as important. But I do think fumble recovery is a talent that is important. Got to note, Matt Gay knocks through two field goals. Look fine. I don't think he's got a big leg, Barrows. I don't know if you were watching. I couldn't watch the pregame warmups, but it does not feel like he's going to make many 55-yarders or even attempt them, because that 47 looked like he was kind of dying up there. But it was straight. It was true. And that's all they can ask for him as a sub-in for Panero. I'm sure he'll kick Sunday in Cleveland, which will be a tough setup for field goal kickers. We know it has not been nice to 49er field goal kickers in the past by the name of Jake Moody. So we'll see. Maybe can't ask for too much. But they got to, you know, they get field goal kickers who make them. That's pretty big. And Sky Moore with another good return. He's become somebody I look to say, like, I'm surprised if he doesn't get it past the 30 on kickoff returns. Once again, 49er special teams are great. Barrows, we just keep saying it. That's just the standard thing. Special teams, 49ers advantage. That's like, what, 60 yards a game, Barrows? If you just like really add up hidden yardage, they call it. Like,
yeah,
you're picking up an extra 5 to 7 every single time. That's pretty big.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So good, so good, so good.
Give big, save big with Rack Friday deals at Nordstrom Rack. For a limited time, take an extra 40% off Red Tag clearance for a total savings up to 75% off. Save on gifts for everyone on your list from brands like Vince, Cole Haan, Sam Edelman, and more. All sales final and restrictions apply. The best stuff goes fast, so bring your gift list and your wish list to your nearest Nordstrom Rack today.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
And I think they forced a fumble, too, that the Panthers were able to recover. But, they're starting to make plays. It's starting to be the difference. I mean, I'm talking about the coverage units and the return units and not just the kicking units. At one point during pregame, I said to myself, oh, God, I haven't been watching Matt Gay, and Kawakami's going to hammer me on the podcast tomorrow So I didn't watch him in warmups. You know, we have to write things like, you know, the inactives blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We actually have to work. We just can't gaze out the window.
That's you and Branch just kind of like, yelling names at each other and like, what are you talking about?
But I just felt like there was a, you know, a professionalism with him. You know, there wasn't any tension, really. I mean, it wasn't a particularly tight game, so there was that. But I think that's why the 49ers brought him in. He's done this thousands of times. He's kicked it in Levi's Stadium a lot. I don't know how much he's kicked up on Lake Erie. It's going to be another kind of element to this. But, yeah, so he was good. My joke was maybe you keep him on the roster and bring him in for extra points. And then Mineiro do the field goals. And then the other
Kyle, why don't you just have two kickers? Come on, Kyle.
Yeah, he'd love that. Well, right now Matt Gay is on the practice squad. So in theory, you could do that a couple of times. The other thing I was hoping for in the game was that Travis Gibson would get like four or five sacks and just like kind of prove me right about the 49ers not being smart and letting him go. But he did not show up on the pass rush stats. He had two tackles, but the Panthers had zero sacks and one quarterback hit all game, which, you know, the 49ers look like the 85 Bears by comparison. And they, of course, had zero sacks. So they're still stuck on 12 after 12 games. So no, they got a sack. On pace to finish with 17.
No, 49ers had a sack. Furrow had that sack.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So, they had a sack and interceptions in the same game, Barrows.
Yeah.
That's just a miracle. Right. That's just a miracle. Yeah, it just impressive to see, you know, Brant Boyer. I'm going to give him credit for it. You got to. He's a new special teams coach, and they're just a put together special teams. They don't give up long returns. They did a little in the early season. They're not doing it now. Nick Martin with a massive hit on one kickoff coverage, I believe. Hey, Matt Gay, after kicking the first kickoff into the end zone, which is not great, he was pretty good putting him like on the two. Like that's Pinero doesn't do that. Pinero like misses him a little bit and kicks him into the end zone.
Two kickers. Four dimension chest.
Kyle, you don't need that fifth receiver. Just go with an extra kicker. What are you talking about?
He certainly doesn't need a deep bench at running back because he only plays one guy.
Robinson. He plays Robinson. Come on now.
Every now and then.
This is a big, deep breath going into this Cleveland game because they do have that bye. It'd be interesting if they can use it as motivation. Let's get to the bye. Knowing them, they'll try to. We have this bye. Don't screw it up. Let's feel good going into the bye. Or if there will be some amount of emotional letdown saying, oh, my God, we'll just get to the bye if we could just get to the bye. Knowing this team, I don't think they're going to do that. I just think it's going to be a tough game. I think that is going to be, you know, Colton McKivitz and Trent Williams are going to have their hands full with Myles Garrett. Anybody has their hands full with that guy. A very aggressive scheme. They're going to sell out to stop Christian McCaffrey. What can the 49ers do to combat that? Brandon Ayuk, we've talked about that before. I mean, he's not going to be playing, certainly not anytime in the near future, but they don't have receivers who are getting open against, you know, tight coverage. That might be part of the deal. Now, Purdy was still throwing it to him. They could have made the plays if the ball was better, but, you know, you're throwing it 20-yard in-cutting route to Juwan Jennings, he's not going to be wide open. That's just not what he does, right? The cornerback's going to be on him. You're counting on him to make the play, which he does often. You're not getting guys breaking loose. Ricky Pearsall, unless I didn't see it, was not breaking loose downfield. It was contested throws. And Brandon Ayuk is a guy who could do that. As we've said, they could use a receiver who does it. Although Tetero McMillan wasn't doing it much yesterday after all our praise for him, Barrows.
Well, I caught a TD.
He did catch a TD, but the clank and a few other things, it did not look tremendous. But also, I mean, that passing game is not advanced. That is not – I mean, Canales is a really good offensive mind. I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming the scheme. I'm just saying with that quarterback – the way they do it, that is not an offense. You go, okay, they can put seven plays together and go 80 yards in a blink. That just doesn't feel like with them. And we know the 49ers are not a great defense. We know the personnel is not there. But it's tough. You know, road games are tough. That's part of the equation. But that was not an impressive performance by
Carroll. I do look forward to the Tim Kawakami What I'm Feeling podcast on Friday, because now people on Twitter are picking up on that. They're like, you know, what does Chris Kawakami's crystal ball tell him about these upcoming games?
We'll see. I don't want to mess it up, but I've been feeling really strong. Like, and Barrows, I've said, I feel strongly about this.
There's no hedging. People hedge when they make predictions, but Kawakami's all in.
I just feel this. It really started with the Atlanta game. It's like, oh my God, Atlanta's pretty good. Or they're like, I just don't see it. I don't see how they're going to beat the 49ers. There's just a feel for that. Maybe it's my NFC South expertise coming in. I've spent so many grinding over that tape. We'll blow one coming up, no question. But and we're getting credit for the noting the George Kittle comments after the previous game, where he talked about all the offense getting together, and he did not mention Brandon Ayuk. Maybe he'll not be thrilled that we're underlining that, but I just thought that was the clearest sign yet that Brandon Ayuk was not coming back this season, or at least they certainly weren't counting on him. And guess what? They're not counting on him coming back. Maybe he comes back. Maybe he doesn't. It'll be on his way out. I don't know why you'd bring him back on his way out. That's like, maybe you legally have to say you would, but, and he has to say, I'll try. As we've said, the countdown clock at this point really doesn't make it seem you're going to, is Shanahan talking today or no?
He's not. Okay. Yeah, I guess it's a short week and he'll talk tomorrow because it's Wednesday. So we'll be back on the regular schedule tomorrow. One fewer day of recovery for the 49ers. So that's, you know, that's another kind of thing going against them going into this week. So, yeah, it's an interesting game given the location. And
there'll be some motivation on the 49ers part because that's all they're going to hear, right? Oh, in 2023, you went there and you were a Super Bowl team.
Well, right. And, you know, Brock Purdy is going to be, you know, yep. Brock Purdy, you just threw three bad interceptions and now you're going to be playing in the elements and you're not good in the elements. Yep. How are you going to possibly stand up to Myles Garrett? So, yeah, there will be plenty of motivation. And as a head coach, I think that the scenario that the 49ers just had, you know, maybe not specifically, but winning a game, but having enough to kind of keep everybody, enough mistakes to keep everybody sharp. That's what you like that scenario going into your next game. I mean, you don't want to have a flawed team, but you like to be able to motivate them to, take care of some errors in the upcoming game.
Well, let's leave this with the only way I think it's fitting to leave anything, any conversation, to quote Juwan Jennings, don't get punched in the balls. All right, everybody. I think that's just a
words to live by.
I think I've lived by them for most of my life. All right, we'll be back later this week, day after Thanksgiving. The 49ers will have no media access on Thanksgiving, and they will have some access tomorrow and some access Friday, and we will talk after the Friday access, and then we've got a game on Sunday. All right, everybody, show for today.
Rinse takes your laundry and hand delivers it to your door, expertly cleaned and folded, so you could take the time once spent folding and sorting and waiting to finally pursue a whole new version of you. Like tea time you. Or this tea time you. Or even this tea time you.
Said you hear about Dave?
Or even tea time you.
So update on Dave.
It's up to you. We'll take the laundry. Rinse. It's time to be great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.